If you stripped away all the concrete and drywall of your city, you'd be left with this gleaming, floating nervous system of copper and aluminum.
Yeah, it's pretty wild to visualize.
Right. So today we're doing a deep dive into the stack of sources you sent us on electrical wires and cables. Our mission here is to basically decode the hidden engineering, powering everything from like a vintage MP3 player to massive national power grids.
And, you know, looking through the materials you provided, what really stands out isn't just the sheer volume of metal, it's the incredible physical precision required to make it all work safely.
Exactly. But, I mean, before we get into the advanced engineering, we should probably clear up the most basic mix-up. Like, what is the actual structural difference between a wire and a cable?
Well, simply put, a wire is just a single insulated conductor. A cable, on the other hand, is two or more of those insulated conductors bound together.
Okay, so a solid wire is like a single dry spaghetti noodle. Great for pushing straight through, but snap-prone if you try to bend it.
Yeah, that's a great way to look at it.
And a cable is more like a braided rope, right? Mm-hmm. Multiple thinner strands twisted together so it bends easily.
Precisely. You trade the simplicity of a solid piece for mechanical flexibility. And, of course, both rely on high-purity copper or aluminum for peak conductivity.
Right, makes sense. So looking at static environments, like your house, the sources categorize everything by cross-sectional area, usually in square millimeters.
Correct, which dictates how much current it can safely carry. Like standard residential lighting uses 1.5 square millimeter wire.
While wall outlets use 2.5, right.
Yeah.
But honestly, I have to ask, if safety is the ultimate goal here, why not just use one massive standard wire size, say, I don't know, 10 millimeters for the whole house? Just to save time mapping it out.
I mean, on paper, sure, a massive wire handles the electrical load beautifully. But in reality, you hit some major roadblocks.
Like what? Cost.
Cost is a huge one. Copper is incredibly expensive, so oversizing wastes a fortune. But also, a 10-millimeter solid copper wire is notoriously rigid. Good luck bending that around a 90-degree corner inside a wall stud.
Oh, yeah, I didn't even think about that.
And it physically just won't fit into the terminal blocks of standard outlets. So you have to match the wire precisely to the load. An air conditioner pulling huge amps needs a thicker, like 3x4 or 3x6 square millimeter cable with heat-resistant insulation.
Because pushing massive amperage through a tiny 1.5 millimeter wire creates resistance, right? Which generates heat, melts the plastic, and starts a fire inside the wall.
Exactly. In a static house, managing heat is your primary enemy.
Okay, but what about when things move? A house sits still, but the sources bring up elevators. They travel thousands of miles a year.
Mm.
How does the electrical connection not just snap from metal fatigue?
Dude, standard round cables absolutely would snap. If you bend a round bundle repeatedly, the outer strands get stretched out while the inner ones get crushed together.
And eventually friction breaks the copper.
Right, so elevators avoid this by using specialized flat cables. By laying the conductors out side by side in a flat ribbon, every single wire experiences the exact same bending radius.
Oh, wow. So there's no crushing or stretching against each other at all.
You got it. It drastically reduces mechanical fatigue.
That is brilliant. And it perfectly sets up how environments dictate cable chemistry, too, like data centers. The sources highlight them using LSEH, or low-smoke, zero-halogen insulation. Why is that so crucial?
So traditional plastics like PVC contain halogens, like chlorine, which act as great fire retardants. But when they do eventually burn, they release highly toxic, corrosive gas.
Gas that could destroy millions in servers or trap people.
Yeah, exactly. Zero halogen cables replace those plastics with alternative compounds that weren't off-gas lethal chemicals in a high-heat situation.
Interesting. So chemistry solves the fire problem. But in telecommunications, they use geometry to solve data problems, right? Mm-hmm. The sources talk about twisted pairs of copper wire to cancel out magnetic coupling noise.
Right, because every electrical signal running through a wire generates a small electromagnetic field. If you run two straight wires parallel, their fields bleed into each other.
Which creates crosstalk or noise.
Exactly. But by twisting the wires around each other, the electromagnetic fields are physically forced into alternating polarities. The interference from one twist perfectly cancels out the interference from the next.
But wait, if we're so worried about data bandwidth and magnetic noise, why do we even bother with older twisted copper? The sources note fiber optic cables use glass strands, which gives vastly higher bandwidth and is immune to magnetic noise.
Well, it really just comes down to raw economics. I mean, fiber optic is undeniably superior for heavy data transmission.
But it's too expensive.
Tremendously. The cost of the glass itself, plus the delicate, highly specialized labor required to splice those connections, it's astronomical. High purity copper is still the backbone because it's significantly cheaper to produce and install at scale.
That makes a lot of sense. So for you listening today, the real takeaway is realizing that the modern world isn't just plugged in. You're interacting with this highly specific, custom-engineered lifeline.
Every single inch of copper is categorized by voltage threshold, mechanical armoring, and exact thickness to survive its environment.
It's basically a beautifully violent ecosystem of resistance, heat, and strain, all safely contained in plastic. Which leads to one final thought to leave you with today.
All about the outdoor environments.
Yeah. Ordinary cables fail rapidly outside because of UV breakdown. The sources point out that solar arrays require specific PV solar cables built to endure intense radiation and extreme heat for over 25 years.
Which is a very long time for plastic to just sit in the sun.
Exactly. So as the world rapidly transitions to green energy, throwing millions of new solar panels on roofs everywhere, what happens if installers start cutting corners?
Scary thought.
If standard indoor wiring is quietly used in those outdoor setups just to save a buck, the nervous system of our future power grid might be decaying right over our heads.